This is Conor Lennon from UN News. The lack of basic water and sanitation facilities in health centres affects 2 billion people around the world and is particularly dangerous for women in childbirth and newborns, according to a new UN report. In an interview with Daniel Johnson from UN News, World Health Organization Technical Officer Maggie Montgomery explains how improved water services in healthcare facilities can have a wider and positive impact on communities overall in countries including Ghana, India, and Ethiopia.
Very good question. Why is this a problem? I think there's many reasons. First of all, people just assume that there's water sanitation in the healthcare facilities, that service is just going to be provided.
By which you mean running water, toilets, areas where you can wash your hands.
Exactly. But I also think that in many of these facilities, the expectations are quite low. That if you talk to patients, you know, they may also be coming from communities where water and sanitation are lacking. So for them, the expectation that the healthcare facility should be this, you know, emblematic place of cleanliness and hygiene maybe isn't always in their mentality.
Where is the problem worst?
The problem definitely is worse in sub-Saharan Africa and parts of Asia. So these are places where there's no water services, there's no basic sanitation services.
Has it always been this bad?
It's hard to say, given that this is the first baseline global report that's out there. I mean, certainly historically, you'll find that many of these facilities have the infrastructure. So it wasn't that they were built without bathrooms or they were built necessarily without plumbing, but that plumbing or those bathrooms weren't necessarily maintained.
So it's a question of resources?
Partially a question of resources. I think it's also a question of priorities, and I also think it's a question of leadership. Leadership within the facility itself.
Presumably, though, those in charge are not aware of the fact that infections in healthcare facilities account for 1 in 4 neonatal deaths and 1 in 10 mothers dying. So what can we expect to happen next?
Well, first of all, I think we can expect that at the national level, because I think this is where the data is really impactful, that countries take a look at this data and they start to say, hey, why is our country doing so poorly, right? So I think that's one. I think secondly, as I was mentioned at the press conference, there's a World Health Assembly resolution for the first time, which very squarely places this issue within the Ministry of Health mandate. So all of a sudden, ministries of health are going to have to pay attention to the fact that not only are their services substandard, but they're making these commitments about developing national action plans, about funding this work, about regularly monitoring and reporting back not only to WHO, but obviously to their own constituencies about what they're doing to improve the situation.
Because according to this report, which is one of two that's being released by UNICEF, the UN Children's Fund, and the World Health Organization, over 2 billion people are impacted by the lack of basic water services in healthcare facilities around the world.
Yeah, it's huge. It's astounding. And you think about the number itself, it's somewhat hard to comprehend that how for this long have we actually been running health centers that don't have these basic services. But I think the issues around, you know, lack of monitoring, lack of attention, obviously, traditionally, many of our health services have been delivered in a vertical manner. So when you're implementing vertical programs around vaccines or around disease-specific areas, you're not necessarily thinking about those underlying services.
Which you take for granted.
Right. One of them is water sanitation. Health workforce, right, is another one. And together, health workforce and infrastructure, of which water, sanitation, as well as energy account for, those two things alone account for 70% of expenses for the health systems. And typically, they both have not received the attention that they need.
Okay. Maybe you give me an idea of the benefits over and beyond saving lives. What are the benefits for the local community? What are the benefits for maybe just the morale of the health workers?
Well, certainly, as you already mentioned, the morale of the health workforce, the trust in health services and people actually seeking care. We see very clearly now with Ebola and DRC, people aren't going to the facilities because they're scared, right? And we see this also with mothers before they deliver. So if they have trust in those services, if they see that their healthcare professionals are modeling the right behavior, that also means that they can go back to their own households and also start to improve the way that they wash their hands or keep their toilets. So I think that it's really a win-win for all. And even in rural facilities, many of these water and sanitation services are shared. So if the healthcare facility improves its water service, why not add a few taps to this local school or the local community? So there's certainly benefits that can extend beyond the facility border itself.
And finally, any good news stories, any countries that are really outperforming and providing inspiration to others?
Ghana comes to mind. They've recently redone their whole health sector policy to really focus on quality. And one key element of quality is water sanitation as well as infection prevention. Prevention
Control. Why did they do that?
They realized that over 90% of the care that people were seeking in outpatient services could be prevented. And so they started thinking, okay, more holistically, how can we promote health? And what does that mean specifically at the healthcare facility? India is another fabulous example. They started a national hygiene campaign back in 2014 and developed a very specific program for healthcare facilities, which focuses on incentives, it focuses on regular monitoring, but also peer-to-peer exchange, which has shown to be really maybe even more impactful than someone from the outside coming in to say, okay, this is what you should do. Ethiopia also launched a national program, Clean and Safe Healthcare Facilities. And part of it is also improving the aesthetics. So there's the water and sanitation, but there's also beautifying, having healing gardens. They even have people giving weddings now at some of the hospitals in Ethiopia. So those are some examples that readily come to mind. And don't let me forget to tell you about in Ghana, they have over 200 local radios, and the radios now have devoted every week a certain part of their radio segment to wash in healthcare facilities, and they have people calling in to tell about the services. They have facilities responding to say what they're doing to actually improve those services. So it's really a dynamic example of community engagement, of local governance, and how there can be an active participatory role of the people actually seeking care in how those services are provided.